Okay, thank you. If that was a true moment, I don't know. It may have been a couple of seconds. But anyway, I'm an addict. My name is Deborah, and I'm glad to be here today. This is nice, and it's different. I've never been at, was at a retreat, had retreats in our area, in the Buffalo area, but never quite like this. Everybody's camping out. You know, the bonfires are everywhere. It's more of a spiritual thing going on. Everybody is like just real in tune and in touch with nature and, you know, I guess getting a closer contact with God and all that sorts of stuff. So I'm feeling real good and I guess feeling pretty spiritual. They asked me to share on the 10th step. I'm getting ready to read on the 10th step because today is August the 26th and it's talking about the 10th step inventory. So I'm like, this is good for me because I need some type of format. You know, I need to have some direction of where I'm going or I'll get all over the place. And I understand that this is a maintenance step. It says here, August the 26th, 10th step inventory. We continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. A daily 10th step keeps us on a sound spiritual footing. While each member asks different questions, some questions have been found to be helpful to almost everyone. Two key 10th step questions are, am I honestly in touch with myself, my actions, and my motives? And have I prayed for God's will for me and the power to carry it out? These two questions answered honestly will lead us into a more thorough look at our day. When focusing on our relationships with others, we may ask, have I harmed anyone today, either directly or indirectly? Do I need to make an amends to anyone as a result of my actions today? We keep it simple in our inventory if we remember to ask where I was wrong. How can I do it better next time? NA members often find that their inventories include other important questions. Was I good to myself today? Did I do something for someone else and expect nothing in return? Have I affirmed my faith in a loving higher power? Step 10 is a maintenance step of the NA program. The 10th step helps us to continue living comfortably in recovery. Just for today, I will remember to review my day. If I have harmed another, I will make amends. I will think about how I can act differently. And that just said it real nice for me, you know, in the 10th step. It helps me admit my wrong, so to speak, in the present. You know, I just recently had to move on in sponsorship, and I caused harm to my sponsor after harm was caused to me. But, of course, I am not to look at the harm that was caused to me. I need to just own up to my part and the part that I played. So that's what I took ownership on. I probably shouldn't have never said what happened, you know, in the situation. But I was able to promptly admit my wrong, and it felt kind of good because I'm not really used to doing that. You know, I'm not used to, you know, looking at my part because I always want to say, well, I want to justify it. Well, look at what you did to me. Had you not done this to me, I would have never responded or reacted in such a way, you know. So the 10th step is constantly reviewing how I treat others and directly and indirectly. You know, I know how to harm you directly. It's hard for me to see that I can harm indirectly. But that's why we need sponsors, because we can't spot self-deception by ourselves. So we got to, you know, get the help and the guidance that we need, you know. So it's real important for me to, I don't know, just constantly look at me, you know. And it always doesn't feel good because I have the disease of addiction, and it manifests itself in a lot of areas in my life. You know, so it's easy for me to divert from me and look at you and look at your faults and then look at your character defects and not look at mine, you know. So it feels real good to just go within and sort through my own contradiction and confusion of my life and see how I can better be of some help to Deborah. You know, it's talking about, did I harm me today? You know, I've caused me more harm than anybody could ever cause me. You know, mentally, physically, and spiritually, in recovery. You know, not accepting my life and my addiction as it is, it caused me to cause further harm to myself. You know, and only until I got in touch with some step work you know, the God, the whole God thing is when I started saying, wow, you know, you're worthwhile. Start loving you today. Start feeling good about who you are today. You know, be like the literature talks about, I'm spiritually refreshed and glad to be alive. You know, you know what I'm saying? So why not kind of go there and live in that? You know, but it doesn't happen like that for me all the time. It takes some type of and it's getting less for pain to be a motivator for me. It just doesn't, you know, today I'm starting to meditate more. You know, I'm starting to go within and have those quiet moments and just getting in touch with the God of my understanding. I don't know if I'm going into the 11th, but I just go there because that's where God want me to go. You know, and it's quiet in the mind and the spirit, and I get in touch with what's real for Deborah. You know, not looking at, you know, all this outside stuff, like me judging my insides by the outward appearances of others. You know, that goes so far and deep for me. I you know, it's that people tend to think that it's just about the outer. It has nothing to do with it. You know, so I can judge my insides by a child, depending on the situation. Oh, you graduated from high school? Well, I didn't. So guess what? Now I'm feeling real shitty right now because you did and I didn't. You have a degree and I don't. You know, when we're all, you know, thrust here together, having survived a near fatal catastrophe, you know, and you know, it was always told to me, we leave the degrees and all that stuff at the door. You know, we have two common denominators, and that's the disease of addiction and recovery, hopefully, you know. So I feel real good that anonymity thing just makes us all equal. You know, there are no the big heads and the little feet, you know what I'm saying? We all just thrust together, surviving a fatal catastrophe, and we know about those. I can identify with a lot of them here lately, you know, blatantly in my face, you know. So if the disease of addiction was a near fatal catastrophe, then I need to be here, and I'm glad to be here, you know. So I don't know. The 10th step, again, is getting me out of the rut, you know. I don't have to continuously cause harm, because at the end of the day, I feel real bad about me. You know what I'm saying? When it's time for me to lay down, when it's time for Deborah to lay down in her spirit and in her skin, I don't feel good about stuff that I've caused harm. You know, things or people that I've harmed, you know, it's not a good feeling. You know, getting in touch with the God of my understanding and allowing him to motivate my actions and, you know, my reactions and the way I respond and the way I think today is a lot different, you know, than the way I used to. I'm just real... Boy, Art, it's good to see you. Art is from Buffalo, you know, and he remembered me when I walked through the door. And as I'm standing here, I remember I was a mess. You know, I remember, and then looking at you, it's like, okay, I see Art over there. Where is he going? You know, keep on going that way. You know, and I have a lot of gratitude for the program and Narcotics Anonymous and guys like you that helped me and gave me a break. You know, I was able to give me a break. You know, through guys like you giving me a break, I was able to give me a break and get the help that I need. You know, and today I help a lot of women. Yeah. Today I help a lot of women. And it's hard because, oh, geez, I had to recently move on in sponsorship. And that was tough. Because a sponsor is somebody that you want to believe in you and want to help you in your recovery. You know, and I understand that I'm ultimately responsible. Well, I am responsible for my personal recovery. You know, I can't blame you if I can't get with you. That is not your fault, you know, that I can't get with you. But it gets kind of rough, you know, when you are... think you found a sponsor and then come to find out that you got to keep moving on. You know, you think you're kind of settled and you get comfortable, you know, and everything seems to be going well, and it's like, hey, you know, you have to do a third step and making another decision. You know, that doesn't always feel good. So I constantly have to ask God again, because I did, to take my will in my life and guide me in my recovery and to show me how to live, you know, because, you know, I don't always know. So I don't know. I looked in the book, and we can do all that kind of stuff. And I underlined a whole bunch of stuff, and, you know, I wanted to say a whole bunch of stuff. And I guess I kind of said it, but now it talks about here, we can ask ourselves in the 10th step. We can ask ourselves if we are being drawn into old patterns of anger, resentment, and fear. You know, and I like that. I like the triangle of self-obsession. You know, and the 10th step talks about that. It seems easier to go back to a seemingly, you know, comfortability opposed to going into something new. You know, it's easy for me to revert back to old behavior. It's easy for me to get back into that comfort zone, you know, opposed to me asking you, what's your number? You know, and calling you. It's easy for me to go sit in a room, put my Walkman on, and isolate. And I don't like to do that. And I'm glad I didn't today because I ended up meeting Cherise, and I ended up, and Jean and Lori. Got it. You know, and it was real therapeutic for me. I need to continue to broaden my base. You know, I need to continue to like reach out to women, predecessors that have been here before me. I don't even see that many women with as much clean time as you guys have. I just don't. A lot of times I go to a meeting and I'm the damn predecessor. You know, and it gets kind of scary. After a while, it's like, where is everybody gone? And then everybody wants to go out on this religious zeal, and then nobody's here. And then you hear that they relapse, but then they still don't come back to the program in Narcotics Anonymous where they got their initial help. You know, this is where you get your help. This is where you get your life back. And now, you know, you get the life back. And now I go on now. I don't have to give it away. You know, I'm responsible to the newcomer. It's my responsibility to give it back. You know, it talks about it in our literature, you know. So I'm just real grateful that God has placed, and there's nothing of my doing. Because, of course, if I put women in my life, it would be all these women that I choose them to be. These women are from all walks of life, like myself, you know. So I'm real glad of that, to just be there, to be a vessel, to be a tool, you know. And there's nothing more. It's nothing about ego or anything of that nature. It's freely given back what was so freely given to me, and that's the program of Narcotics Anonymous and the spiritual principles that I get through doing the step work. You know, it's living the spiritual principles. It's practicing some humility. You know, it's practicing some surrender. I refused to say it 10 years ago. Where's the love? You know, where's the love? That's like one of the main ones. Where's the love? You know, and it's a lot of times you don't get it. You know, everybody wants to know now, how much money do you have, and where you work, and what do you drive, and what about how to just stay clean? What about if I'm struggling? You know, what's really going on? And you just don't hear it. I don't care about all that stuff. It's all so superficial to me. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, the primary purpose is to stay clean and to carry the message, you know, and our message is, you know, an addict, any addict, you know, we already know that the deal, you know, can stop using, lose the desire to use, find a new way to live. And that's what I'm looking for, that new way to live. And I'm learning how to do that through a 10th step by constantly looking at me. Because, again, I never want to look at me. You are my problem. I don't want to look at me. Had it not been for you, my life would have been fine. You know, and that's what I used to believe for a long time. For a long time, you know, it's like, you know, so now it's like I can take ownership and responsibility for my actions, you know, my behaviors, you know, my thoughts are different today, you know, I'm quicker to forgive today, and less anger, you know what I'm saying? It talks about how our first thought is hardly ever a spiritual one, but it also talks about in some literature that I read, either in Works How and Why or the Step Working Guide, that it will become second nature to do the next right thing. You know, and that's through the inventory. That's through constantly looking and seeking God's guidance and working on me. You know, working on me, I don't have time to focus on you. You know, it's a lot going on with me. I just stopped sucking my thumb after 40 years. I'll be 42 next month. I just stopped sucking my thumb. You know, that was like a miracle for me. They talk about lost dreams awakened and possibilities, new possibilities arise. You know, I had an opportunity to get braces on at the age of 13. Guess what? Wasn't willing to put the thumb down. So the braces wouldn't have did no damn good. You know, I'd have defeated that purpose. You know, so God was like, you know what? And I prayed. And I sought through prayer and meditation to make that decision. You know, and I did. And I have not sucked my thumb. This is something, I mean, when the damn drugs was gone, when the men were gone, when the money was gone, when I was locked up in the jail cell, it was me and my thumb. When everybody treated me shitty, when I thought the world, you know, owed me something, it was me and my thumb. You know, I had to let my thumb go, Eric. I had to stop sucking my damn thumb. I stopped using, lost the desire to use. I don't desire to suck my thumb no more. And found a new way to live and got braces on. That's good for me. That's good for me. I don't know about nobody else, but when I smiled, I kind of covered up with shame because I had protruded my own stuff. This is what recovery is about for me. I know the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. You don't even have to freaking stop. Just have a desire. Today I have a desire with some willingness, and with the willingness I put forth the action. And I do the step work. You know, this new sponsor now said that she's going to send me traditions. I had to kind of like do traditions on my own, like Cherie talked about. That's how it was. She says, oh, no, we have tradition information. I'm like, yeah, send it to me. I'm thirsty for it. Give me some new stuff. You know, so I'm you know, I'm so glad that, you know, it's like another struggle, another surrender. You know, I can always pick myself back up when I feel like all is gone and all is lost. I can say, well, hey, Deb, guess what? You got another opportunity to get it better, to do it differently, like it talked about in the 10th step, the Just for Today, today, to do it a little differently. You know, how can I do it differently? I'm sorry that I harmed you. How can I make it better? How can it be all right? You know, let me look at me. You know, so today I don't steal. Today I don't steal. I don't put my hands on things that does not belong to me. Because with 8 years clean, I got caught and I went to jail. You know, I caused harm to my son, not realizing it, because I judged the women when they said they aborted their children. You know, I judged them. Wow, they left their kids. I didn't have any kids in active addiction. Guess what? Because I aborted them all. Anything that came out of me was had to go. You interfered with my using, so you had to go. Had to make an amends for that. I'm still making an amends for that in my business. Every day I open up my door for business, I'm making an amends for that, you know? So, you know, it goes so deep and far, you know. God is awesome. You know, I like the 10, 11, I love all the step work. You know, I don't have to have your God, you don't have to have mine. Everybody can have their own belief. You know, that's a beautiful thing, to come in here and be thrust together, and everybody can have their own little belief. We have a few things in common. You know, that's just like awesome. You know, because who'd have thought coming up here, you know, of course, my co-pilot didn't really have faith in the directions that came off the internet. So he didn't believe that we should have gone a little bit further. And in not doing so, we made a wrong turn. So now I'm stopped at the store, and maybe it was just my perception and not reality, because I can go in my head and be like, oh, my God, they're going to kill us right now. Yeah, because I don't see anybody that looked remotely close to me for miles around. And this guy says, yeah, well, you go up here and you go down that here, go around the barn. And I went around the barn and I didn't go any further. I said, this is it. God, take my will of my life. You know, I'm starting to pray these prayers. Every prayer came out. Grant me the knowledge that I may live according to you. And all these prayers start coming in and topping each other. And I'm like, then another guy came out on the road and he says, oh, no, where you guys going? Told us where we were going. I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to go, but I don't believe. You know, it's like, do you believe or do you really believe? You know, and of course, he guided us right here. We were right here. You know, it's you know, not having enough faith, but having enough to get here. You know, so it was always you know, trying. You know, that's good for me too. Getting on the road and driving, because for a long time I didn't have a driver's license. I just drove. If you was giving up your keys, guess what? I was getting in the car and I was getting behind the wheel and I was crashing up your car. Today I have driver's license. The driver's license actually matched my home. You know, they match where I live. You know, that's a good thing, you know. So it just feels real good to do the right thing for the right reasons, you know. And it's all through this program. You know, I'm real grateful. And it's funny because last year I was picking up some children in my van and I lost my purse with all of my identification, some valuables was in the purse and all this sort of stuff. And I said, they're never going to return it back. And then wouldn't you know, when I got home, the purse was over my fence. And I said, well, the stuff's not going to be in the purse. And everything in the purse was in the purse. It had to go in my wallet. Small purse, had to go in my wallet to get my driver's license to see actually where I live. Had to pass through the valuables to get to where it had to go. So I said, you know what? That'll give me an opportunity to do the right thing for the right reason, because it's going to be my turn. You know, it's going to be my turn. And just for today, I don't have to live any other way but the Narcotics Anonymous way. You know, I can find your personal belongings that you value so dearly and give them back to you. You know, give them to his rightful owner. That has never, ever, ever been anything remotely close to coming out of my mouth. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe she left that. You know, and like I've gotten away, but I'm not going to get blessed by taking your blessing. That's not how the God of my understanding works for me. So guess what? I have an opportunity to always, you know, do the right thing, you know? So it just feels real good to be on an uphill journey, despite what goes on in my life, you know, as long as I don't use. You know, and then using, it goes more for me than just the drug. Today, I don't like to use a person, place, or a thing for instant gratification, just so I can feel a little bit better about me because I'm suffering in some area with low self-esteem or low self-worth, self-pity and self-loathing. I don't have to use you. Today, I can survive my emotions. You know, I can go through what I need to go through, call you up. I got more numbers today. I can call long distance once again. You know, that's the beauty about coming to these type of retreats and reaching out and meeting new people. You know, it's always a blessing to meet people that are on the same path and the same journey as you are. You know, trying to be spiritually fit, you know, getting a conscious contact. You know, sorting through the contradiction and the confusion, you know, getting to the exact nature of the wrong, you know, and not the wrong itself and all that kind of stuff. It just feels real good, you know, to sit around and talk about what's going on with you. You know, having people share their story, you know, having people share their story openly and honestly with you, a total stranger, but we're not so strange because we're more alike than we are different. And that's what I like to focus on, the similarities. And not the differences. You know, I'm grateful that it doesn't matter what or how much we used and who our connections were. Guess what? Because I can go into, guess what? I used to date a couple of celebrities in New York City when I was prostituting. A couple of guys that played on all my children. A couple of baseball players came through and, hey, I'm not proud of that today. And only through doing some work a couple of years ago is where somewhere talked about prostitution. And I never looked at prostitution as a degrading thing. I always looked at it as something very glamorous and, you know, New York City, bright lights, big city, Toronto, everything is, whoa, fancy schmancy. Until I recently looked in the literature again, I believe it's in It Works How and Why, and it talked about the prostitution being degrading. And then I got in touch with all them feelings and it took me all the way back. Like, wow. Like, wow, you are glad that you are alive and you don't have, you know, all that other stuff that goes along with, you know, the multiple partners. You ought to be grateful. You ought to be grateful. So anything that you're asked to do in the program of Narcotics Anonymous that's spiritual, that's spiritual, you know, spiritual solutions. I seek those today. You know, a solution could be a solution. Doesn't necessarily have to be a spiritual one. You know, because if you hurt my son, I say it all the time, if the kids on the street hurt my boy, I only got one, can't have any more. Ruin the body, ruin the insides. Talks about getting your house in order. Talks about getting your house in order in the literature. But ruining my temple, my insides, my house, I really can't have any more children. And as a result of that, he kind of suffers as an only child a little bit. You know, so we, I don't know how much you suffer, you know, but I think I do more, you know. So I said, if anybody put their hands on my kid, I'm going to go outside and, but that's just my solution. That's not a spiritual one, you know. Hey, what happened? Let's talk about it. Where's your mind? Well, we could do it differently this time, you know. So I try to respond today opposed to reacting to the way I feel, you know. Or the way I may think I feel, you know, because that's all it is a thought, and it, you know, the feeling, you know, and then the anger, resentment, and fear that it talked about in the step 10. It seemed like everything that I do, if the defect comes out, is all fear based for me. Everything is fear based. Guess what? Because I'm scared. I'm a little girl just now starting to grow up, and it's very fearful and it's frightening when a lot of things are placed upon you. You know what I'm saying? To do, it gets kind of scary. You know, I don't know. I remember women wouldn't ask me to sponsor them because all I shared in the meeting was all the old active addiction stuff. And then I used to wonder, well, why? I really had nothing to give. You know, until I started getting in touch with who I was, sharing recovery, talking about living spiritual principles. Now it's like I have more than, I don't know, I may... can handle. I don't know, but just for today, I'm handling it. I'm not getting overwhelmed. I'm here. You know, I need to take care of me, like it also talks about in the 10th step. I need to take care of me. I need to be good to Deborah. You know, I need to be good to me. I need to nurture me. So I take quiet time for me. I take walks. You know, I ride my bike. You know, I listen to soothing music. I listen to all sorts of music. You know, but I like to take care of Deborah. You know, I like to eat healthy for the most part. You know, I kind of wander off course every now and then, you know, but being good to me is doing the next right thing. Because at the end of the day, I feel good in my spirit. You know, when I can look a person square in the eye with neither anger nor fear, that makes me feel real good about who I am as a human being. You know, that makes me feel real glad about who I am as a human being. You know, I need to look at the world of some sort that talks about it in one of the something literature, NA literature. I need to specify that and kind of alter my role in it. You know, I don't know where it is, and don't even ask me, because I, you know, I can read. It took me like 5 times to get my GED. So I'm not a well-read person. I have to read it over and over and over again, and then ask you a couple questions, and then probably read it again before I get a pure understanding of what's going on here. You know, so, and I'm not ashamed to do that. I can come up and ask, you know, hey, can you explain this to me? What are they talking about? Yeah, I have a thesaurus over here. I have the dictionary over here, and I have this here over here, and I'm looking it all up, and I still quite don't get it. And then there's always the simplicity. You know, like you talk about, well, ask one of the predecessors. You know what I'm saying? It'd be just as plain and simple. Like, oh, okay, that's what it is? Oh, shoot. That's what it was? You know, so I don't know. Hey, that's kind of it. It's kind of it for me. I'm glad to be here again. I'm grateful for Stephen for asking me to come out and give my experience, strength, and hope. I hope I helped someone. Help me, you know, because it always feels good when I free myself up and talk about what's going on with me and look at me and sort through me, and you know, and that's what it's about, getting in touch with who I am, you know, and knowing my wants and needs and being kinder to you, you know, because it always makes me feel better. And you know, my will is God's will for me, is my own true will for myself. So, you know, I understand that as well. So, you know, thank you.
I'm an addict called Ed.
Yeah.
Before I share, could everybody get the person next to him a hug, please?
Here, give me one.
Love you too, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm still an addict called Ed. They asked me to share on the 11th step. I'm honored from the committee to ask me to share. It says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I remember a couple times hearing reason. I heard it from two newer members say it the same way. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contract. You know? And but when I think about that, it's basically what I'm pretty much doing. You know what I mean? I'm renewing that contract. When I got here in Narcotics Anonymous, I thought spirituality and religion was the same thing. I was 36 years old, an adult, but still didn't know the difference. I thought it was the same thing. And I come in here and you guys taught me. You told me that I could get a God of my own understanding. I'll share this little 5-6-year-old story, I guess that I was. But I lived in, born in North Philadelphia, there in Clearfield. I lived on 9th Street, and my mom came home from the store with, groceries, and I grabbed a handful of pretzels. And my sister thought I took too many, and she chased me. Ran out the house, ran down the street, ran through the alley, over to Darien Street. Very narrow street, cars go real slow. And I got hit by a car and watched the tires go past my face. And woke up in the back of a car when they were taking me to the hospital. I was laying on my mother's lap. And she said, "See, God punished you." And I was like, wow. Dude tried to kill me. I'm only a little kid. And somewhere in the back of my head, I'm not saying it was up front, but for all these years, it was in there. And that he was punishing, you know, all that kind of stuff. I come in here and you tell me the suggestions is loving and caring. And that's what I got in my life today. I got a loving and caring God. You'll never hear me say the drugs that I've used, because it doesn't matter. You'll never hear me tell you the God that I believe in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, because it doesn't matter in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, but it matters to me. Okay, the God that I believe in, I've been cultivating a relationship. It took me 12 years to start practicing. I was looking for the big NA kind of a church, you know what I mean? And it was non-existing. So it took me up to 12 years before I even started. But I believe I got a pretty good, best relationship I ever had with the God that I believe in today. I got a picture. His name was Skip. He was my sponsor for a minute, but he's one of my heroes. He died clean. Jeff, one of my heroes, he died clean. I sponsored him. And Joey, I sponsored him and he died clean. And I keep them in this book. I miss them. I love them. They were part of my life in recovery. And they went out like stand-up men. You know, and they truly are my heroes. This isn't a religious program, and I know that. It's a spiritual program. Narcotics Anonymous is 100% spiritual. It's not religious. The young lady was talking about the religious zeal they talk about in this book. And that's why I definitely differentiate between Narcotics Anonymous and my religion. I believe it's a God-given program. I believe you can have a God of your own understanding, just like the literature tells us. And it's okay. It's okay. And if you don't have one, it's okay. The last paragraph in this book says, the guy's an atheist. It's called Down Under. Says, being an atheist does not stop me from working the program. The only thing I do not do, of course, is pray. The main thing is that I do what is possible, what I got. No one can do more. The advice that was given to me at my first meeting still holds good today. Don't pick up the first drink or drug. Go to meetings and work the steps. First word in the basic text is simplicity. You talked about simplicity. You know, so from the beginning of this book to the end of the book, nothing but hope. You know, in the 11th step, it talks about meditation. And it talks about there's all different kinds of meditation. It doesn't matter, whatever's good for you. I had to be taught by you guys that prayer is communication. And if I'm communicating with you, I talk, and then I listen. So if I'm communicating with the God that I believe in, what I try to do is I talk, and I try to listen. I don't hear no, oh, Ed, you know what I mean? I don't hear none of that. It's usually just something inside. You know, things become more clear. I had the opportunity earlier today with a couple of friends of mine to go up to that prayer pit, whatever it's called, up on the top of the hill here, and just look out, you know what I mean? And I sat up there and I prayed and I meditated. And it says, quieting of the mind and letting all my thoughts die a natural death, as our literature says. But as it dies a natural death, another thought always seems to pop in. So it's never the total quiet. And that's just for me. You know, the basic text talks about God six times in the steps, with the capital H for him, and with God, capital G. And in the first, second tradition, it also talks about who's in charge. We go to church more than people to go to church. You know what I mean? We're usually in the basement. And that's the bottom line. I found my God in the basement of the church. The denomination of the church had no barrier on how I got that relationship. I believe God speaks through people. And like I said, I believe it's a God-given program. And I don't have the option to say who God speaks through. I remember being little and again, this is something that I got off of somebody else. Anything I say about recovery is something that I stole, believe me. Okay? When I'm talking about myself, it's me. But I remember someone saying this and then just thinking about it, and it makes nothing but sense. But when the lights went on outside, we had to be in the house or on the steps. And we used to break the lights. And then we moved into a town where they had an 8 o'clock siren. And we used to figure out how to break this siren at the firehouse. And we never figured it out. But Mom used to say, you know, stay on the steps. And that's the real deal. We come into recovery, and that's what we start to try to do. We got to stay on the steps. With the steps and the order that they are in, with the powerlessness and the unmanageability I knew was real. It was real prevalent in my life, the lifestyle that I lived. The powerlessness I had a problem with, I don't have a problem with it today. I'm not powerless over my second thought. I'm powerless over my first thought. I'm not powerless over who I associate with, where I go and what I do. I got power over that, and you taught me that. This step's talking about power, too. Okay? Praying for the power of his will for us and the power to carry that out. You know what I mean? Knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Young lady was sharing about how by just doing the next right thing ends up being the right thing that pretty much God wants us to do. And that happens over a period of time. I was a fake when I was out there in my active addiction. And I come in here, and all of a sudden you say, fake it till you make it. And my first response is, I'm not a fake. I'm a stand-up, this and that, you know. But the real deal is, I was anything you wanted me to be when I was out there. Want me Mickey Mouse? That's who I was. You know what I mean? I'm getting high today, right? But I come in here, and all of a sudden, I'm a different kind of guy. But they say, fake it till you make it. And I start trying to emulate the people that I thought were the winners, because you told me to stick with the winners. And I start acting differently when I was around people that was in recovery versus my road dogs and stuff like that. I would think before I reacted, and I'd say, no, the way I should act is like this. And I was faking it. After a while, that became who I was. When a situation arose, that's how I acted. And then what I noticed is newer members emulate us. Okay? I remember having about 60 days clean, and the reading, you know, from where I come from in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, my recovery, that's where my recovery is, and it was from prayer to prayer, or you didn't make a meeting. You came in after the serenity prayer, you didn't make a meeting today, you know? But anyway, we wait for all the readings to be read, and go outside, smoke a cigarette, because the speaker's coming on. That's what you're supposed to do, you know, go out and smoke. And this guy comes up and he goes, what kind of example are you being to the newcomer? I said, newcomer? I said, I'm a newcomer. He said, how much time you got? And I had about 60 days. And he goes, how much time you got? Dude had about like 2 weeks. He was following my lead. From that day to this day, I haven't done that. You know what I mean? And it's real, real important for me to understand that and think about that when I'm around newer members. You know, some formats, like in my home group, it says try to keep an atmosphere of recovery before, during, and after the meeting. Well, I try to do that. I try to come to the meeting early. I try to do, because I watched other people do it. Through meditation, I get to search myself. When I did a four-step, it was almost like my first exposure to kind of a meditation. Because I start, see, I have a built-in, I don't know about you, but I got a built-in remote control that when things hurt a little bit, I can change channel. You know, let me just change that thought. And when I was doing my fourth step, I wanted to change that channel. I tried not to. I tried to put it over here, and I tried to keep writing. And then my sponsor told me, he said, look, don't kill yourself here. It isn't like you have to do the whole four step and then get with me. You asked me to be your guide, so therefore I can guide you through this step. So if I got to a point that it was a little deep and a little bit of sore, a little hurting, there's other parts of that four step that aren't as painful. And I would just, then I would come back again. You know? God speaks through all you guys when you share your experience, strength, and hope. Like, I believe in my heart of hearts that we're like 98% students, all of us. All of us. I don't care how much time you got or how much time you really don't have. 98% of the time in Narcotics Anonymous, I believe we're students. 2% of the time, I believe we're teachers. All of us. And that's when we share our experience, our strength, and our hopes. You know what I mean? Prayer, you know, they say it's a God-given program, you know, I'm trying to look for what God's will is for me to do. And I believe in my heart that there's some things that I do that I believe God really wants me to do. And then there's a lot of things that I know I do that He doesn't want me to do. You know, I have a... And I'm like, whoa, you know? I try to come back from it. I try to recoup myself, get back in the form. I pray for things to get removed. I used to not do that because I was okay with a lot of things that I did. You know, six steps says, you know, entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven says, humbly asked Him to remove these shortcomings. Well, I didn't humbly ask Him to remove a lot of them because I was still okay with a lot of them. You know, it didn't cause me as much pain. I've seen other people displaying the same maybe behaviors or doing the same kind of things, and it was okay for them. They're in recovery. They're working steps. They got a sponsor, you know. But then I had to look at it like, you guys taught me that all of us work these steps differently. okay, to the best of our ability. I don't work the steps to the best of your ability. I work them to the best of my ability. My comprehension of these steps is different than a lot of you people sitting out here. But if I'm working them to the best of my ability, then things happen in a positive way. Traditions. On tradition two, where it talks about who's in charge. You know what I mean? That's real for me. It's also real for our predecessors. You know? The steps is like how it works, and the traditions are like why it works. And without them, I don't know where any... Well, I know we probably wouldn't be sitting here today. You know? I don't think Narcotics Anonymous would have survived. I think God gave us everything in the toolbox. Whether we choose to utilize the things that are in that toolbox, the tools, it's up to us as individuals. What I look for in a sponsor, what I look for when I go into a meeting, how I try to present myself. Talk about the, you know, dressing up the outside and leaving the inside alone and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I know a few people in recovery that are struggling their asses off because they look real good on the outside, but they're ugly on the inside, you know? And there's parts of me that's ugly. And I know I can't do it by myself. And like I said, I believe God speaks through people. And I don't have a choice on who God's speaking through. And I need every one of you guys. I don't care if you got one day clean, 30 years clean. If I think I can't learn from you, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. If you're sharing your experience, it becomes my experience. I don't have to physically do what you did and get what you got. If I listen with an open mind and try to take it as information for myself, that if I do what you did, I'm going to get what you got, I don't need to go there. It doesn't always have to be, you know, great pain in order to change. Sometimes it's just watching somebody do something and watching good things happening in their lives and their lives getting better, and with me not even hurting, saying, wow, I want to do that. You know, and it makes me want to do different things by the way you display your recovery to me and the other people in the rooms. Service work, and I always talk about service work. I believe in service. I believe that, you know, we need to have a, for me, being a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I need a home group. Okay? How do I pick a home group? Pick a home group where I'm going to feel comfortable, where I want to be a part of, where I want to help pay the bills and clean the place up and, you know, be there. And if somebody's looking for me, that's where they can find me at. So I need an address. I believe I need a service commitment. And I'm not saying to get involved in area service and regional. I'm saying get involved in your home group. You know what I mean? For me, that was so key. That was so key to do that. And someone was sharing earlier about, you know, straightening up, and even if it's not my home group, I go to a meeting and I try to help set up. I'll help make coffee, or I'll do whatever has to be done, because it's my meeting too. It's not my home group. It's not my home. It's your home, wherever it is, wherever I'm at. But, you know, it's where I'm going to get some recovery, I'm hoping. And it's part of us as a family to do that. But looking for what the right thing to do and what God's will is for us to do and the power to do that. I can only get that power to do that is by sometimes by practicing. If I don't, you know, how do you become a great football player? You better start playing football. You know, or how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. You know what I mean? I need to do things. I need repetition. You're talking about here, you know, the readings. I try to savor them when they're being read. I don't like it, and it's my own personal thing, but I know some of you are really good readers, and you want to go, how it works. If you won't have the offer and won't make the effort to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. These are officials made. Who can understand that, especially a newer member coming into the rooms? So when I read, I try to read. I'm not the fastest reader in the world either, but I try to read for the, you can understand what's being said. And when I hear the readings being read like that, you know, I got some clean time, but guess what? I still, different things kick out sometimes that, wow, I forgot about that, you know, or a different thought comes into my mind. When we open up a meeting and we're talking about all the other stuff that's going on in the world, we're talking about what football game's going on, or the skirt, or the girls talking about the guys, or, you know, whatever the deal is, and fights coming on at so-and-so o'clock. All of a sudden, we have a moment of silence for, you know what I mean? Do the serenity prayer. Do who is, what is, why are we here, how it works, 12 traditions. What we're doing is we're setting up for a spiritual event to take place. And whether or not we receive that spiritual thing, it's up to us. You know, by maintaining an atmosphere of recovery is key. But when we sit there and there's conversations going on, you know what I mean? What are we doing? You know what I mean? Or you're talking with two other people in the back and all of a sudden you want to share, but you want everybody to shut up and listen to you. Who are you? You know what I mean? And I've already, out of ignorance and being who I am, ignorant, I've seen people do that, and when they start sharing, I start talking with somebody, like, loud enough so they can hear me. You know what I'm saying? And then they look. I said, what? You were doing it. You know what I mean? Or confronting people, but I ask people to confront me, too, if I'm doing something that's not right. But there's some things that I do, and it's, I shouldn't do it like that. You know what I mean? But I try to pull people to the side. I think that's what God wants me to do, instead of busting them in a meeting sometimes on some silly shit. You know what I mean? Pull them to the side, talk to them one-on-one. And if I hear, you know, no matter what it is, or if I see something or some kind of different behavior that's not right or kosher, or you're messing with the newcomer, whether it be guy or female, you know what I mean? You know, thing is, let God have them first. You know, let God take care of them. I wait, you know, the suggestions that you gave. I waited until I had 4 days before I had a year, and I went to a movie with who's my wife today. We've been together 16 years now. But I waited 4 days before I had a year to go to a movie with her. And we actually started going out. I was with my sponsor and his girl, Mike and Noella. I mean, Noelle. And she knows her. Devin knows her. But I took the suggestion because my last marriage, I was married 3 times. My last marriage was open. I mean open. Okay? So I'm saying that don't affect me. They're not talking about me. They're talking about everybody else. But I thought about it. I never was with a woman, never made love to a woman clean. I had to take a look at that. You know what I mean? And I kept hearing it from a lot of people, but I didn't see it in here. Show me where it says that. You know, it doesn't. Okay? But that's not the issue. Thing is, it's a strong suggestion. I know people with a double-digit clean time ain't ready for a relationship, you know? And that's real. That's real. That's, you know, one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. Relationships, you know what I mean? But the thing is to know and to practice and to try to get an understanding of what God's will is for me takes effort. It's not like, I know what it is now. I had a vision. You know what I mean? Well, I had a dream last night, and this is what I'm supposed to do. It's something that you can feel it. Spirituality, you can't see, but you can feel. You know what I mean? The God of your understanding, you can't see him, but you can feel him. You know? You feel the presence. You see it working in other people's lives. You know, the spirituality. But, you know, just trying to practice of quieting of the mind and prayer. You know, someone said, and I'm not saying this is how you got to do it, because I don't do it. I can't even stand up, let alone get on my knees. But everybody should say, put your shoes under the bed, and, you know, this way when you get up in the morning, you got to get on your knees, you know, that kind of stuff. And someone said, why you got to get on your knees? And some guy turned around and he said, humility. and I take it like there ain't nobody walking the face of this earth I'm getting on my knees to. You know what I'm saying? And that's real, but that is showing humility. You know? I do it laying down, sitting on a hopper, and so, oh, that's disrespectful. No, it ain't. It's a natural function. God made me. You know what I mean? Everything that I do, you know. Driving down the road, sitting up at that prayer pit, sitting over here before she was sharing. I can pray anywhere. You know, don't take hours sometimes. You know, but I'll tell you what I did. It used to be, and it was all about me and what I need it and what I want it and what I this and that. And I, like I said, I won't tell you who the God is that I believe in, but when I do pray, what I ask for is to please let me learn the difference between wants and needs. You know, please continue to give me the needs that you do and let me learn the difference between my needs and my wants. But I remember I needed a girl. I needed a truck. I needed this and I needed, I didn't need them. I wanted them. I didn't know the difference. And then it also says sometimes we pray for things and then ask for it to be removed. You know, and that's reality too. And people laugh and the ones that are laughing because of relationship kind of thing. You know what I mean? And that's usually where that comes from. But that's real, you know. I watch people come into this program without their children and then with their children. I watch people in this program come here because they're trying to save a marriage or, you know what I mean, or a nudge from the judge, or they're on the, you know, the trying to save their job. Whatever you're here, it doesn't matter. Hopefully, soon enough, you're going to end up wanting to be here for yourself. And when you're here for yourself, I think that's the first thing that I believe in my heart of hearts that God wants all of us to do. You know what I mean? To try to make this thing work. He wants us to be like Boy Scouts. Trustworthy, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. You know what I mean? Wants us to be the best persons we can be. All of us. Just be good. Just be the son I never was. I wasn't a good father, but I'm a good pop-pop. You know what I'm saying? I made amends to my daughter. She goes, you ain't got to make amends to me. She goes, you was a good dad. I said, yeah, all right. Windows up. Driving high. Playing daddy high. You know, all the different things I could think of. $30 for a pair of sneaks. $10 for that. You know, I mean, and taking away money that was allotted, that was for this, and going that way with it, and all. That's all child abuse to me. I'm not saying I beat her or nothing like that, you know. I ended up raising somebody else's daughter instead of my own, you know. You know, I got two beautiful granddaughters. I got a grandson that I never met him. He's probably about 6-7 years old, lives in Indiana. And I met him when he was in my daughter's belly, and that was it, you know. She knows my number. I don't know where her and her mom's like two peas in a pod, and I don't know where they are, but they know how to get a hold of me. And when they do, you know, I was trying to bring them out and set them up for about 6 months, and I knew I was going to have to bring her with it, my ex. And my wife was like, but she was reluctant. She was going to go with it, though, just to give them a start, and that didn't happen. You know, but I keep trying to think of different things that I believe God wants me to do. Do I have the power to do everything that I think God wants me to do? No. Can I get that power? I think I can. You know, God don't give us more than we can handle kind of a thing. And again, you know, and this step is talking about God. You know, step two isn't talking about God, but it says some people can call it God. Talking about a power greater than ourselves, which is me and one of you, or this group right here is stronger than anyone here. And that's the real deal. That's more powerful than anybody in this room, right? In this room right here, outside room with no walls. But yeah, that's how I look at it, and that's my take on what's going on. You know, we hear the word God, and everybody wants to run away. But the same people that want to run away did the foxhole prayers. You know, I don't know who you was praying to, but you're praying to something. And if you don't know it. If you don't have a belief, okay, I remember sticking my hand in the door with money and hoping something came out. Yeah. You know, I didn't know who was on the other side, never seen a face. But the real deal is, that's a belief. third step talks about, the first sentence talks about, many, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not going to flip to it, many times we turn our will and our lives over to a destructive power. So there's definitely a destructive power, and then there's a loving and caring power, and I believe that. Okay? But try to have faith in someone that believes in you and wants to help you in your recovery. You know, it says it in our literature. I believe that. I believe our literature. Just give it a shot. If you're trusting the dope man, why can't you trust somebody that you've seen that their lives have changed? You know? I know it's still a trust issue. We test. We tell them something little. See if it gets around. You know what I mean? We do the little test trust thing. I trust my sponsor with everything. And I tell my sponsees, I say, here's the deal. Here's the condition of me sponsoring you. If I have a problem with anything that we're going through or anything we're talking to, guess who I'm talking to? I'm talking to my sponsor. Your name's coming up. And if you have a problem with that, you're going to get another sponsor because I trust my sponsor. So my sponsee family's like that, and that's good. But it's understood from the door. It isn't like, whoa, what'd you tell your sponsor for? Hello? You know what I mean? I already told him from the gate. I remember struggling trying to find it. I'm going to say this and shut up. But struggling trying to find that NA church. And one day, my sponsor knew what I was going through. He said, look, why don't you just come to the place I come to? He goes, try it three times. If you don't like it, don't come back. I tried it, and for whatever it's worth, I'm still there. And you know what? There's a lot of people that are in recovery there, too. And I remember one day riding to church saying, you know what? God, please do not let me get that religious zeal you're talking about. And then I said, stop. I want that religious zeal, but I want to still learn the difference between recovery and religion. You know what I mean? I don't think I have to go out of my way. I think I have it down pretty good that I won't say who my God is, and it doesn't matter. But if I said who mine was, what's that make yours? You know what I mean? Like, mine's the best, and yours is... You know what I mean? Me and God already talked. He knows I'm not saying the name in here. You know what I mean? But one-on-one, all my sponsees know. Anybody that knows me in recovery, one-on-one, we talk and the subject comes up. I don't hesitate. I'll tell them. But it doesn't belong in these rooms. And that's the difference. It doesn't belong in these rooms. This is a spiritual, 100% Narcotics Anonymous is spiritual. All right? If it's not spiritual, it's not Narcotics Anonymous. And that's real. And there's a difference between the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and the program of Narcotics Anonymous. The program will never, ever let you down, never fail you, promises you one thing. Okay? The fellowship is made up of you. And you know what? You know who you are. You will hurt people. You know what I mean? That's why we continue to try to work these steps. Deliberately, unintentionally, whatever the deal is. You know? What I try not to do today is any suggestions or anything that I try to give anybody, I let them know there's never any malice involved in what it is, and I would never intentionally try to say something to somebody that would hurt somebody. And God forbid you did get hurt through whatever it was. It wasn't meant to do it that way. You know what I mean? But like I said, I'm an addict. I'm still, the core of my disease is total self-centeredness. And they say to try to get more godly, you know, God-centered instead of self-centered. But when I go out of myself and try to be of service, that's why I was talking about service. If I try to be of service to you, I'm out of myself. Okay, and for me, that's part of my recovery. Big time. You know what I mean? So, with that, pretty much all I got. Thanks for letting me share.